All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We want to welcome to the microphone here the CEO of the EDDC, the Erie Downtown Development Corporation, Drew Whiting. Welcome, Drew. Glad that you're back.
Thank you, Joel.
All righty. So I see you running around here every day in this neighborhood. And by the way, I need to say, this is a neighborhood. There are people that we get to know, that we wave. It's extremely friendly. And I don't know if you have always worked in an urban setting, but I haven't. This is my first gig in 40 years of working that I've worked in an urban setting. And I tell you, I love it. It's amazing how it is. It's like this big neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes is from Better Call Saul.
Okay.
It's part of a scene that we can't describe in detail here, but he just says, look, the world is a rich tapestry. We definitely have that going on down here.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of everything and two of some,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what makes life interesting. If you want to live in, the pristine suburbs and see only people like you, that's an option. But in a city, you don't have that option. And it becomes something that you learn to appreciate once you're immersed within it.
Well, I'm thinking about, you're running into executives from Erie Insurance. You're running into Gannon basketball players getting Ritas. I mean, you're hitting, I ran into the president of the ball club at the food hall one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just always somebody to communicate with and catch up with. And
yeah, I was on vacation last week, away from Erie, and it took me like 4 days to stop having this like head on a swivel type of thing going on where I'm always looking for somebody that I know.
Yeah.
Because any corner you turn here in Erie, wherever you're sitting, there's probably somebody right around the corner or right behind you. That's part of what I love about this place. I grew up in a really small town and always appreciated that and sought that out. So being here, I feel the same thing. And
yeah,
you've articulated it much better than I could, but that's more of, we're trying to build more of that.
Yeah.
And I think the residents that live down here almost universally love it. The businesses that we have now in the food hall and some of our retail spaces, the workers, the staff at Ascend, they all love being down here. They hang out after work. They're in the food hall. They're hanging out at different restaurants and other businesses around town, and it's really nice to see.
Well, let's start with the food hall, because it's been in the paper a few times in the last since you were last here. We've lost a few tenants, we've gotten a few tenants in. Please, let's talk about the mission of the food hall, because I feel like people are missing that this is not a glitch. This is part of the format.
Joel, you're teeing me up for the spin zone. I love it. No, it's true. From the outset, if you look at some of the earliest quotes about the purpose of that food hall from Matt Wachter and John Persinger, it was meant to be a place where local food service entrepreneurs have a low risk shot to get their start. And some small businesses fail. In fact, the vast majority of them do within 3 years, most do within 1 year. And there are things that we can certainly do better. Okay. We've gone to great lengths to revamp our royalty system within the food hall so that rent slash royalty is not too much of a burden on those that are successful. But yet we still have a commitment from those vendors to do the best that they can within that space so that they're all working, they're all there at the same time. We're not having somebody walk into a mostly empty place and be turned off and turn around before they see the open place around the corner. So we've started the revamping of that system to put better incentives in place to reward those who have gone above and beyond and are really doing well in there and to increase some accountability and alignment within between the EDDC and our vendors. So in general, those that are meeting or exceeding bare minimum requirements for being involved in that space are getting a better deal now.
Okay.
And it's been a welcome change. That kind of change also comes with departures. And those departures are for many reasons, some positive, some negative. There's no sugarcoating that some of it's just tough. Not every business is going to succeed. Food service, retail, you name it. In any city, anywhere.
How much of this that you're experiencing over there has to do with just not being able to hire the people to fill out the preferred time slots? Because I would think that you'd want to be open, you know, what, 10:30 or 11 till about 6 or 7 or maybe a little later, you know?
So there's the reality that food service employees are just more expensive, and it's because most of these businesses are either being required to or they're choosing to pay a living wage or their employees are demanding it.
Yeah.
I think everybody that's been out to eat in the last 5 years has seen prices rise steadily because of both inflation and rising wages and the worker having some power and being able to demand more. That's a good thing from a bottom-up economic approach. But it does mean that your cheeseburger is going to cost $10 or $12 and not $5. It means when you go to Subway for a foot long, it's not $5 anymore.
Right.
That being said, a lot of these businesses, if you've ever started a small business, hiring your first employee is a major, major step. You have to be incredibly organized. You have to have a handle on cash flow. You have to know exactly what every product on your menu requires and have it built out step by step so that anybody can walk in off the street and put together a menu item in the time that everybody expects it to be in their hands. And so in food service, it's particularly difficult for some of these people that have been operating food trucks or operating on their own as a solopreneur for a long time. They're coming in, they're getting a ton of foot traffic. And I'm sure some of those people that have been into the food hall over the last month and seen how crowded it's been getting during lunch and at dinner time, some of the service is a little bit slower. Some of these people are working really hard to hire up and train, but that's a tough industry to train, hire and maintain that employment base, but it's not impossible. Part of our job should be to help those businesses get to a point where they're able to do that more effectively by providing them the tools and the resources to do that. That's a big part of where we're going with our mission from here forward. But yeah, I think, you know, we're going to see better consistency when we already are with some of our new vendors who are doing really, really well. They're incentivized to be there and they're incentivized to hire people because they know they can make more money if they do it. But it takes being really organized, having a good product and generating that demand for yourself. And look, the food hall, I read the comment sections. Mm-hmm. There's the thought that the rent's too high. Well, talk to somebody that is in the food hall and have that conversation with them.
Right.
And see if that notion is one that you still agree with. I'll let you be the judge. The other one is that these places are just doomed to fail because nobody goes downtown. Well, I can tell you for a fact, we can start looking at numbers together if you want to. Most people who have offered some constructive feedback, I've offered to have coffee with them, and I'd love to sit down with them and show them what the numbers look like from two years and 4 months ago to today in the time that the food hall has been open. this place is hopping during lunch and at nights. I mean, tonight for karaoke, there will probably be 100 people at the bar.
Seriously. Yeah.
I mean, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights are huge nights. The weekends have been insane the last like
month. We need to be doing karaoke.
We at the brig across the street, our cigar lounge.
Yeah.
I mean, we're making sure that we count people as they come in because we don't want to overload the place and be above occupancy.
have a fire marshal come by.
You can tell when somebody hasn't been down here for a long time when they speak so negatively about the place.
Yeah.
Because the reality on the ground is completely different. You do have this really cool neighborhood of engaged, fun people that appreciate the diversity of what's happening around here. Mm-hmm. And it's a younger, more vibrant crowd. I mean, look at the bakery on Fifth. It has nothing to do with us.
Right.
It's in our relative footprint, but it's a building that we don't own. It's a business we had nothing to do with. They came in here and everybody wrapped their arms around them. And that place is jumping every day.
Yeah.
And it's a Turkish and French bakery in Erie.
Right.
One of our most successful restaurants in the food hall is a Dominican joint.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot tell me.
And they're sweethearts, though.
They all are. Yeah. And these are phenomenal stories that if people understood where these people came from and how they've gotten to where they are, mm-hmm. like, you can't help but want to just do anything you can to support them.
The dude at Cheesery, he will find you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you order the food, you can go anywhere. He'll find you to deliver personally and make sure you enjoy it. You
and Daryl at Triple D's will like see you in the street and be like, "How's that burger, my man?" Like, there's just, it's like when you get to, when you start to get familiar with things down here and start to make those trips down and visit, it's a universal reaction, mm-hmm. which is like, I had no idea that was there, and I'm so glad. Now we're down there all the time.
Now, there was quite a bit of news with the pizza thing flipped over.
Sure.
What's your perspective on all that, and how's that working out?
Yeah, so at the same, basically the same time, we had a departure of our grocery store, and we had it in works for a significant amount of time. It changed at Perry's.
Yeah.
So we have, from basically the date that I started in mid-July, started to take a look at our financial picture and what we need to do to improve. So obviously you start with what's working and then you move your way down. Okay, what's really not working?
Mm-hmm.
And where we've been subsidizing losses to the tune of 20 to 30 grand a month for a couple of these spots, and we just can't afford to do it anymore.
Right.
You have to make a change. So when it comes to tenant selection, early days, there wasn't much choice. Mm. John, Matt, Nicole were scrambling to get anybody that could to come down into these spaces. We have a lot of people that want to be in these spaces now. So we can be selective. And how do we create a tenant selection process and an underwriting type of procedure that we can follow? If I got hit by a bus tomorrow, it wouldn't just be, well, Drew thought this was a good idea, so let's go. Like, no, here's why we did this. And here's why we made this selection. So for IPA Pizza in particular, one, love the pizza. And you could tell by looking at me, I enjoy eating things that I like. So there's, this place on Friday night when it's pizza night in our house, I was going out and hanging out by different pizza places to figure out like, mm-hmm. who should we be looking at? And this place caught my eye right away, caught my taste buds before my eye. But then you start hanging around the food truck and talking to the people working in there, and you sense this energy, and this optimism and this entrepreneurial spirit from those guys from the jump.
Yeah.
So there was a light stalking effort that went on for a while. I cold emailed or cold LinkedIn messaged the owner.
Yeah.
We had some conversations like, hey, what do you think about this?
And,
he's a humble, hardworking guy. He's got a business background. He has a long-term vision of what this business could be beyond just one location. Mm-hmm. Has an ownership mentality.
Yeah.
And as an entrepreneurial lawyer and startup guy for years, that ownership mentality is much, much different than an employee mentality. The owner views the day as there's not enough hours in this day to do what I want to be able to do. The employee is watching the clock to see when they need to go home.
Right.
Wow. These guys are all ownership mentality people. And, they were doing almost double the revenue that Perry's was doing out of a food truck without a liquor license in a parking lot.
Wow.
Not in downtown. And so to me, if these people want to do it, bring them in.
Have you seen the needle move in the first couple months?
Yeah. Understatement.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
again, this is, this is where it's going to, the rubber is going to meet the road, is the metrics of what is happening here. The data is going to prove the naysayers wrong.
And whether the data is going to take time to catch up with the community feeling that we have down here.
Yeah.
When you walk into that food hall now, it just feels different than it did
in
July, August. There's a lot of people that really enjoy being around each other in that place that are collaborating. We've got Ryan Hoover turned loose to go in and basically inject as much energy as he possibly can, which if anybody knows Ryan, there's a boundless amount of that energy.
You might have to wear Mickey Mouse ears from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta let him fly.
Exactly.
But yeah, it has been, the numbers are going to catch up.
Yeah.
I'm an optimist at heart. That's why I took a really difficult job on like this. You can't do it if you're not an optimist. Mm-hmm. We are working tirelessly to do what we can to get to the point where, look, Fifth Street opens up at the end of April, early May. The wrap building, the parking garage, 300 new spaces for parking, just in case anybody still thinks we've got a massive parking problem down here. It's going to get better. Mm-hmm. We've got warm weather coming.
Yeah.
And I want what we have in the food hall to be our best foot forward, in all of our retail spaces to be best foot forward. So that means that you have to make some really difficult decisions. We were able to start making some of those decisions at the end of last year and early this year. And so, yeah, there's a lot of news all at once. Not all mm-hmm. of it, not all of it positive.
You're right.
And we're not in the business of denigrating those tenants that were there either. Yeah.
No,
but you got to make some changes when it's time.
I want to ask you about the public market here. Again, you said there was kind of a cavalcade of, let's say it, bad news that, for the EDDC, power outages, lost food, you know, has kind of led to a point where we now no longer have the food co-op or Gordon's meat downtown here. What is the thinking now moving forward, I guess?
I mean, for starters, in mid-December, we had a couple months of runway cash to continue to support the market to keep it going.
Yeah.
And that was whittled down to about 2 weeks with some of the power outages and inventory losses that had to be covered. So, you know, we started the process of identifying a new partner in mid-December, and we're pretty close right now with a local partner that we think will bring more of what a downtown urban market should be to that space, that will better serve the population in this area from a product mix standpoint, and that will be more of a ritual traffic driver rather than just like a suburban style grocery store.
Gotcha.
So we're working on that. We hope to have an announcement fairly soon, but I think people will be pleased when we make that announcement.
Well, what we've always said is it's really difficult for people to change their traffic patterns when it comes to groceries. You know, where I live, I gravitate to 38th in Liberty Tops, you know, if we're not going to Wegmans. And so, I mean, you have people downtown here or people that work downtown that have been used to going to a Lucky's or a Dollar General or what have you.
Yeah, I mean, before moving to Erie, I never saw a grocery store in an urban setting that had grocery carts in it.
Yeah.
Because where are you taking the grocery cart in an urban setting?
Right.
And it was set up like a suburban grocery store.
Okay.
So does that work in an urban setting? It might have here. I don't know. Maybe we just opened too early. My hunch is that a better design may help.
Okay.
And that means an urban market is like whatever you can carry in two bags, a couple blocks to your car.
Yeah.
And what are the last couple of things you need to grab before you go home for dinner? What are the staples? You need to be able to sell beer and wine. And you need to have that ritual traffic with a cafe, a bakery, made to order sandwiches, ready to go meals, those kinds of things. That's what we're working on. The place will look a lot different when it reopens. We're hoping for this summer, if not earlier.
Let's grab a quick question here. Caller, got like 30 seconds. Go ahead and ask a question of Drew.
Yeah, I'd like to know why Mr. Whiting, in his preparation for the golf course, continued to violate the city's accessibility in sidewalk closures. There was months when that sidewalk at 10th and state was inaccessible and in a very unsafe way.
I'm going to let him answer off the air. Thanks for the call. Go ahead. Fred has brought this up at city council.
Yeah, I would just tell Ms. Teffer it's obviously because I don't care for the welfare of the city's citizens. I mean, there's no other possible answer for that.
You're being facetious.
Of course. I don't have time for that.
Okay. We'll keep moving. So you're looking at a target of Fifth Street opening by May?
Yeah, that's okay. That's right now. The crane's down.
It is down. Noticed. I guess I need to look up.
We also, yeah. So the crane is down, and the street should be repaved in early May.
Okay.
Things could always happen to delay that, but yeah, that's the hope. And we should be opening those apartments, 32 new 1- and 2-bedroom apartments at 5th and Peach that, will welcome new residents. And our goal is that our grocery store is back open at that same time.
Yeah.
And that the food hall is in a place where we're launched and we're in a great spot going through the summer.
So Drew, let's talk about, Let's work our way from west to east here. You mentioned 5th and Peach looking to go online by May. How many apartments? And again, and what's on the first floor?
We need 32 market rate apartments that will be 1- and 2-bedrooms.
Okay.
The first floor right now, we have one tenant locked in. It's Dave's Diner.
Dave's Diner,
We're
yeah.
looking at a couple of possibilities for the other space on the ground floor there.
Are you still looking at the bottle shop or?
Yeah, so we have a liquor license.
Okay.
And the question is how do we purpose that license? Mm-hmm. What we're doing right now is not rushing into making those decisions. I think we have the benefit of some hindsight in how that went leading up to this point. We want to make sure that we're doing the tenant selection in the right way.
Okay.
The thing that we've noticed works is activity. When we're programming live music, when we're doing trivia, when we're doing karaoke nights, when we're doing boutique nights, any type of event or activity tends to work and be a draw. We're talking about a location on Peach Street, which is not on State. It's a one-way street going north. Gannon students are right over there.
Yeah.
What fits with Gannon students? The parking garage is right there too. So what's a destination?
Mm-hmm.
What's appointment based? So those are the types of things that are informing tenant selection when it comes to both food service and retail right now.
Okay.
And I think the way forward is going to be very intentional. And when these places are announced, I'll be happy to do it. It's going to be it'll be a really fun amenity added to the downtown.
So as Fifth Street opens, then technically the front door of the public market opens.
That's right.
That was one of the things that kind of jammed you up too, right?
Really limiting factor when the front door of your grocery store is not open.
Yeah.
You're going to struggle. So we're getting there. That front door being open, I think coming south on State Street off of the Bayfront Highway, that's the kind of traffic that area will see the more now than it ever has.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a reason to turn right onto Fifth Street, park in the loading zone right outside of the grocery store, run and grab your coffee, grab the couple things you need for lunch or dinner on the way home, whatever it may be. And that'll be a great ritual stopping point.
Yeah.
That Fifth Street corridor from basically Peach Street all the way to French should be the coolest street in this entire downtown.
There's no doubt.
It's a cultural center of the city. We have the art museum. We have the children's museum. We have the shops at Fifth and State, Ascend, the food hall, the grocery store, and at the other end of it, you have Gannon University. So the park right on the other side. That's the kind of place that drives the heart of a downtown, including its public space. So this is a really exciting time. And I look at it kind of like a relaunch of everything we've built so far.
Wow.
And what's coming will be along that same road, which is the building that we're currently in the design phase on for the gap between the food hall and the market between North Park Row and Fifth Street.
And the thinking of that is to put these things together and having some common space, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we really want to be inviting people into our space and creating easily walkable paths between city blocks in our core. So instead of flat front facade facing North Park Row, where you got to have a key to get in or you got to walk in for a particular purpose, our current design includes a promenade that will go from North Park Row to Fifth Street that will be very accessible, Freda, and will be, you'll be able to get from the parking garage right to North Park Row into the park for live music on Thursday nights.
Nice.
And so that, that space should invite people into food service and retail on the first floor. And the current design calls for office space on the upper floors that will hopefully be a draw for many more people and new businesses to come into downtown Erie.
Last time you were on, you were saying that your phone rings every day about Class A office space.
Yeah.
Can you explain the nature of that demand?
Yeah, so that demand is coming from a lot of out-of-town companies.
Really?
Or companies that are in town that now have this younger population of employees that really want to live and work in the city center. So if you're, you know, a manufacturing facility in Mill Creek and you just hire, you hire engineers or hire salespeople out of whatever local college or college from anywhere, somebody's moving back home, do they really want to live at 22 to 30 years old in around the corner from their parents in Mill Creek or Fairview, or would they rather be downtown above a climbing gym and next door to a food hall? And so if you're going to build new office space and update that offering, wouldn't you rather do the administrative piece of that that doesn't necessarily need to be connected to the plant in downtown to be able to house those employees down here and make Erie more sticky for them and for you as a company?
Are you hearing anything from like the creative class?
Yeah, you know, of course.
Richard Florida and the whole bit. But, you know, I mean, architects and ad agencies and so on, you know.
Yeah, it's Erie's got a wealth of creatives. And we are very, very lucky to have them. And I would say most of our small business economy and a lot of the resurgence of youth energy in this town is in large part due to those people. These are the people that are putting on performances, that are playing music at, you name the venue, all year round, but specifically everywhere in the summertime. Mm-hmm. It's artists that are filling galleries around town that allow us to have gallery nights that span the city. These people are creating businesses around video and music and graphic design. It's really impressive. I got to know it really well working at Radius when I first moved here.
Yeah.
There is, like there are in a lot of cities, a struggle to figure out how to make sure that the creative class is well compensated in their trade.
Right.
And in larger cities, I think people understand you need to pay these people for the art that they create for you. In smaller cities that aren't used to that, it's a little bit of an uphill climb. So the way that that we approach this is that if we have somebody come and perform in the food hall on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, they're well paid and they're celebrated.
Nice.
And I think, as you know, we see a lot of efforts, whether it's 1020 Collective, Bastion, PACA, a lot of these institutions in town that have given people homes, trying to do better and trying to make those homes more robust and offer more things to that creative community. We're trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Erie Arts and Culture is a phenomenal resource in this town. And Ann Odell, who's their current executive director, and I are talking about how Erie Arts and Culture may be able to utilize some EDDC space to do some more gallery focused type efforts. In particular, the top two floors of the cashier's house right now are EDDC office. Wow. For a bunch of people that really don't need offices. We also have space that is phenomenal canvas for public art,
mm-hmm.
whether that's music or the visual arts or the media arts. We have guys like Benton Bainbridge moving to town and taking over buildings and renovating them for artists in the community. It's just a really cool movement to see. It's something that I didn't really expect coming here. I think I was on a phone call with Sean Fedorko before we moved, and he's like, "You're really going to be surprised by like this creative driven startup economy that we have here. That's kind of different than what you've probably expected or seen in Chicago."
Right.
And I didn't really know what he meant. And it became pretty apparent early that, you know, that really is the driver here. And, mm-hmm. and those people are to be celebrated. They should be paid. Nobody should expect them to do things for free. And if there's a way to empower that community, it's for the betterment of all of us. That type of artistic drive can really lift an entire place.
So we've got demand from the creatives. We have demand for a Class A office space from perhaps those that might be, you know, they might have their plant in Fairview, but they want their front office or, you know, some of their design team downtown to be kind of do a live, work, and play. When you talk about the Gap building and the Gap, which would be like a phase two of the EDDC, what kind of timeline are you looking at there?
We'd like to break ground this year.
Okay.
And target an opening late 25, early 26.
Gotcha.
In construction terms, that is just a shot in the dark.
Yeah, but it's still very fast.
It is. But that's a really important piece for us to finish.
Yeah.
And before we can start to move on to other things and break ground in other areas, we need to finish cleaning up what we've started.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working hard on that. And we've applied for a RACP award for that particular project that we're hoping will get approved so that we can move forward. And I think the genesis of that idea is to drive more foot traffic, bring people more into our footprint in downtown.
Yeah.
And create economic opportunity for more entrepreneurs.
We're talking to Drew Whiting. He's the CEO of the Erie Downtown Development Corporation. When we talk about the food hall in and of itself, so your goal, I would imagine, is to always have every booth full and well-staffed.
Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
The reality is that we've had to shake things up a little bit, and there's no overnight solution.
Okay.
We're getting there. We've got a team of six that is solving all of that, managing all of our apartments, making sure this place is safe, making sure it's clean, making sure it's accessible. We are engaging with the community on any number of fronts you can think.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to make sure that we're not rushing into replacing somebody just for the sake of replacing them, but making sure we get somebody in that's really ready to take advantage of that opportunity.
Let's move over to this side of State Street. Speaking of the east side of State, where we are, again, the shops at 5th and State starts with Erie Apparel City Gallery, where we are here at Talk Erie, and you've got Rita's and Subway and Primo Tailoring and She Vintage and on and on and on, the Dollhouse. How these seem to be a bit more stable. We haven't seen a lot of turnover here. Is it a different business model, or are these guys just hitting it out of the park? I mean, I know, I see Louis Jeremiah. He is busy, that guy.
Yeah, it's a mixed results type of deal. It's the same as across the street.
Yeah.
Retail is really tough. It's different than food service. Retail has changed a lot in the U.S. over the last few years, and in a downtown area, you need to do retail in a particular way for it to be successful, specifically as a small business without a national brand. And that's what almost all of these are, except for maybe Subway and Rita's.
Right.
So what is the factor for success with those businesses? I think it goes back to what some of the success factors are in food service, which is you have to create a draw and activity and appointment. So we're working with a lot of those vendors to shift what they do and how they do it so that they can have that appointment traffic to draw people in. The reality is, if you're just standing behind a cash register and hoping people show up, it's probably not going to happen.
Mm.
That's for anywhere, not just in Erie, but you can go online and order whatever you're looking at in the store, unless there's some reason why you're having an experience or some sort of engagement within that space. That's new to a lot of our vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to help them through that, give them that shot to recover and get to a point of sustainability and success before we start making decisions. The worst thing you can have in a downtown is an empty storefront, and all of these tenants are storefronts right at the ground level.
Yeah.
So our approach there is a little bit different, but it's thoughtful. It's well-researched. We are doing our best to rehabilitate some that need it, to encourage those that are already doing well. Look at what Lewis is doing. Yeah. Lewis gets out of his store. He is advertising in boardrooms. He's working with other food vendors and other vendors of other things in the city to make this thing go. He's putting on events. He's doing poker nights. Like, there is a reason why Lewis is successful right now. And when Lewis first asked me, I was like, "Hey, what can I do for you?" He's like, "We're good here. Like, what do you need from me?" And I was like, "I just need you to set an example." And that's it. I mean, Lewis is a leader on the side of the street, and we know that others are seeing that and starting to follow it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. We recently just opened the Brig Cigar Lounge.
Yep.
I talked to B up there. She said like they're down to like 10 lockers. I mean, overwhelming acceptance rate, just like we saw over at Ascend. I mean,
people... Yeah, they started with 60 lockers, and then they bought two more banks of like 30.
Oh my God.
And I think they have a couple left total.
Right. Yes.
So come on down if you want a locker.
I think they're going to put that air handling system to the test.
Yeah. I mean, that's another story where we have been testing that out significantly. There's a lot of energy in that place. It's a diverse crowd.
Yeah.
It's a really energetic, hopeful crowd in there.
Two-thirds men, one-third women.
Yeah.
And the women are partaking. Oh. I mean, I know that sounds like an old-fashioned dude.
And not everybody's smoking. And
right.
Because of the ventilation system, the smoke isn't like overbearing if you're sitting next to somebody that's smoking. But it is, and it's a lot of people from out of town coming in because this thing is here. Like if you sit down and just start to engage some of the people at some of the communal tables in there, you'll find at least somebody at that table that's coming up from Pittsburgh or Youngstown or from Jamestown that are coming here because this place exists. And then they're going and having food at Bricks and going to a show at the Warner. I mean,
incredible.
that's what this place is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brig is a part of it. They're doing a great job in their role and driving traffic. And we expect to see that continue just as Ascend's been doing with the more health oriented approach on the other side of the street.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, we haven't, and we're going to end up there. I wanted to ask you about Bricks because that's a concept that, you know, was a risk taker, you know, high end steakhouse right on. I mean, remember this used to be Skid Row 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we have a high end steakhouse right there on 5th and State. Fourth and State.
Yeah. I think there's been a change, significant one.
Okay.
The Bricks is finding its way. They're figuring out what works and what doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the cashier's house in general, we're trying to figure out how to better utilize that so that will help Bricks as a business. But yeah, I mean, look at walking up and down the street. I haven't been here long enough to know what this was in the past. I've heard the stories and the anecdotes, but when I hear from people that came back to town for a visit for Thanksgiving or Christmas over the last few months, I've heard from a lot of these people. They're like, I walked up and down the street and I could not believe where I was. Like 5-10 years ago, you would not have gotten out of your car in this area of town.
No, you wouldn't have.
It is just a completely different place. And that's, you know, part of what makes me chuckle when I see anything that's like just this reflexive negativity from people. Like, look, we got a lot to be thankful for. The last thing we should be doing is complaining. Were things done perfectly? Absolutely not. But look at where we are and where do we go from here and how can we work together? A big part of what I've been doing with my time in this role is reengaging with the community to try to make sure that as we move forward, we are doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a heavy lift.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stakeholders. There's a lot of voices. You need to make sure that you find the reasonable ones and lean into them as much as you can.
Yeah.
So that is the way that we celebrate success here is using that to catapult us to further progress.
Let's talk about Five West, kind of finish there. And, you know, again, we were watching it since February of 2022 as it was just roughed out plumbing and steel girders. And now it is just this hopping place.
Yeah.
Again, the only negative for us is trying to find a parking space because it's full of Ascend visitors. You know what I mean?
And again, 300 new spaces opening up around the corner. They're coming.
So the guys in Pittsburgh are super happy.
Yeah, they're happy. They've seen a really solid opening, even compared to some of their others. I just encourage anybody that does happen to go in, engage with some of the staff, ask them what they think about working there and how they feel about being downtown. That's the true measure of where we are.
Yeah.
These are younger people that half of them are only working there 'cause they want to climb and be around their friends down here. And then they're all hanging out and, and at the food hall afterwards, or going to Rita's or going to Bricks. And yeah. It's extremely encouraging to walk into that place with 2 5-year-olds and have them climb in next to a bunch of college kids that are helping them get up a wall.
Neat.
And you know, just the biggest thing about Ascend and the Brig in particular, it's a draw. That's yeah. it brings people down here because there's nowhere else that you could do that. Literally nowhere else within 100 miles. And it's a draw of very different people for different purposes, but it's creating a community that's diverse, that's inclusive, and that offers a variety of activity mm-hmm. and ways to engage your mind, your body, your stomach.
Yeah.
And so we want to continue to build on that, and where we're seeing demand, we're trying to capitalize on it and you know, feed supply towards that demand. We're having success, and we're optimistic about where we're going.
I got to ask you about your personal project, 10th and State, the new golf simulator, also yeah. the cafe that's there, that's getting expanded there. How is that going? What's your timeline for some of that?
Yeah, so the building was a major overhaul of all the mechanical systems. It was completely inefficient building from an energy standpoint, and we've improved that, you know, massive improvement, which is necessary because we're putting actual businesses in there. They're going to be drawing people and using energy. Right. So, you know, the purpose of purchasing that building was to brighten up the corner of 10th and State, which is the heart of our entertainment district between Seawolves and Otters Arena Stadium. All the way to where we are on 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Theater is right there. Playhouse is right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, PAC is not too far away, mm-hmm. and the Feed Media Arts Center isn't too far away, and there's a bunch of restaurants right there.
Absolutely.
So I was working at Radius at the Renaissance Center, saw that space, and I was like, look, we need to bring an entertainment option to this corner.
Yeah.
And coming from Chicago and knowing about a particular type of entertainment, we decided to bring it into our golf facility. Well, when we started to build it out, we realized that if we had more space, we could actually put in some non-golf amenities too, like an arcade, which we have a 4,000-foot arcade opening up in there,
oh my
which will
goodness.
Be non-golf related at all. We have a sports bar that'll sit 30 people. And so that business is going to be really cool. 5-Iron Golf, we're the first franchise in the United States here in Erie, PA, a Manhattan-based company that's got backers like Topgolf and Callaway and Danny Meyer's Restaurant Group in New York City. They believe in Erie and they believe in what we're trying to do.
Amazing.
So we think that's going to be really successful. And then, you know, who's in this building already that we really want to lean into? And if anybody has met Mabel Howard,
yeah,
you immediately want to get behind whatever she's doing.
Force of nature.
So her and her mother, Thelma, are phenomenal. Their baked goods are out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an opportunity to more than double the space of that cafe and really give them a run at a long-term sustainable business that could be really a stalwart on that corner, along with us, and a good complement to the 5-Iron business. So they're going to be doing all of our desserts.
Nice.
And then as the Avalon gets rebuilt and there's 219 new apartments there, and you know, the Renaissance Center gets turned into a 4-star hotel or whatever that development ends up being over the next 2 to 3 years, we've got a great entertainment amenity. We've got a phenomenal cafe that sit as the anchor of that corner,
mm-hmm.
along with Jekyll's, which has been there forever.
Yeah.
Cloud Nine and some of the others in that corridor. So it's really an effort to brighten up a corner and connect the north side of State Street to the rest of State
sure.
Street. What I hope this does is it sets an example for what other people can do on their own. You look
right.
at the EDDC projects, it doesn't feel like it's attainable because that was done with corporate dollars, that
right.
was done with foundation dollars, done with dollars that didn't expect return
mm-hmm.
for the most part. What we're doing up there is a sustainable, economically viable product or project.
And you're going to, yeah, you're expecting a
yeah.
return on investment.
And it requires getting to know everybody in the county and the city that could potentially offer low interest loans, tax
yeah.
credits, everything else that you need to do to make those capital stacks work.
Yeah.
And we at the EDDC want to empower more developers that come into town like I did
yeah.
that need that extra help on the lending side. So economic development wise, that's where we're headed.
We got to leave it there. Drew
that's
Whiting.
Fine.
Thank you very, very much, sir. Thanks for all of your hard work and your incredible passion for moving Erie
forward. I'm going to keep bringing it, Joel.
Keep bringing it, sir.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.